It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey, he's holding it down for us in New York City. We'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. We get started at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Where you been? You missed a lot. Hey, thank you so much to Mac Angle for joining us from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram to talk about how bad the Mavericks are, especially now that Kyrie Irving has a torn ACL. Yeah, things have gone from bad to worse. We talked about Shedeur Sanders, whether or not he's being rightfully criticized as an NFL draft prospect because his last name is Sanders. We took a look at the Dallas Cowboys, what they plan to do or not do here as the offseason continues on, probably making Micah Parsons sweat for his contract. And then speaking of the NFC East, we heard about Saquon. Saquon Barkley earlier today got himself a nice contract extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. They've tacked on an additional 2 years to his deal. He'll be an Eagle, or at least will be paid through being an Eagle through the year 2028, where he will ultimately be the highest paid running back in the NFL at more than $20 million. Good for him. We got more to get into. I told you about Shedeur Sanders, talked about the NFL. In 20 minutes, we'll have a conversation with Tony Pauline from SportsKita. He's been covering the NFL draft. He's been covering the combine for years. I want to get his perspectives. I want to get his thoughts on just really what we can expect and who we should look out for heading into the draft. Like, we can talk about Shedeur and the Cams, and we will. Who are some other names that we need to pay attention to? People are enamored with Jalen Milroe. They want him to develop. What's the deal with Quinn Ewers? Is Jaxson Dart really shooting up? Well, what defenders do we need to pay attention to outside of Graham and Abdul Carter? It goes on and on. And Tony Pauline will join us in 20 minutes. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. So we have a lot to do. If you want to call up, you can. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Right before we went to break, we talked about Sam Darnold, who, by the way, there's really no news when it comes down to who got hit with the franchise tag today. None. T. Higgins got tagged. We knew that was going to be the case. And then you can also take a look at Trey Smith, who got tagged, the guard for the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's it. We had two players tagged. It's the fewest since 1994. Because I guess most teams say, man, we're the big-time impact players. Most of the big-time impact players in the NFL, they got themselves some contracts. And Trey Smith, if you're the Bengals, of course you want to protect Patrick Mahomes. Now they got to work on protecting him at the edges, on the tackles. And then, well, we already know what the deal is with the Cincinnati Bengals. They ain't going to pay T. Higgins. He's going to have to get that big old contract and that deal somewhere else. And then speaking of wide receivers, of which there are plenty of free agent wide receivers, a little bit older. Stephon Diggs hurt, Chris Godwin hurt, Amari Cooper older, DeAndre Hopkins older, Keenan Allen older. These are the guys who are pretty much available to be taken. You can add another name to that list, because the New York Jets officially said adieu to Davante Adams. He just turned 32 years old in December, and one of Aaron Rodgers' buddies is now gone from the New York Jets. Not a shock, not a surprise, and it was something that was expected. This is Adam Schefter from earlier today. He says, you know what? Davante Adams played for a loser. You can expect him to play for a winner. This is what he told Pat McAfee.
He wants to play for a winner. He's going to want to play where he's utilized, where they depend on him, and where he's got a chance to win games.
He's going to the Chiefs. This guy's going to the Chiefs.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I can see it.
I you said that. I didn't say that. I just think that
he's going to the Chiefs.
Want to go to a place.
Bills?
No.
Well, there are a lot of players. How about, I mean, we could go over back any number. Vegas, the Packers.
Yeah.
How about
bingo.
The Packers?
Does Davante Adams want Does he, Hickey, is he joking? Is he joking? Is he serious?
It's a joke, about which teams?
The Packers.
Oh. I mean, they do need a number one receiver.
And didn't somebody on their own team say that recently?
Yeah, Josh Jacobs.
Oh, the running back. Oh, my God.
Huh. Right at Super Bowl week. Yeah, we need a receiver, all right? We need a number one guy.
Yeah, I wonder how his receivers feel about him. Somebody should come out and go, hey, we need somebody better than Josh Jacobs. We need somebody like Saquon. And see how much he would like that. Yeah. Nah, it's been reported by Jeremy Fowler that Devontae Adams wants to head. And we talked about this. He wants to head to the Chargers or the Rams or the 49ers. He's originally from California, so why not make it back home? I think we can throw out the idea that he wants to go to New Orleans and play with his old bulldog buddy and Derek Carr. That ain't happening. At this stage of his career, Devontae Adams, 32 years old. Yeah, he missed a little bit of the mark. Wasting time with Aaron Rodgers, and that worked out, didn't it? Yeah, no, it did not. So we'll see where Adams ends up. I would expect him to be out in California, especially given his age. Play inside, play at home. You played in Green Bay and busted your ass. Just stay out west, play some better weather. Meanwhile, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, it seems that some of the odds makers have different thoughts and opinions on where he might end up to continue his career. As it stands today, the wonderful geniuses in Vegas, they say that the New York Giants have the best chance to bring in Aaron Rodgers. You got to be kidding me. Followed by the Steelers, then the Raiders, then the Titans, then the Vikings, the Colts, the Browns, the 49ers, Seahawks, and Rams. Rams ain't happening. You know, Stafford is returning. We don't know what the number is yet. The Seahawks, I guess Geno would have to get hurt. The 49ers, Brock Purdy, they're working on a contract extension with the guy. The Browns, come on. Aaron Rodgers is not finishing his career with no stinking Cleveland Browns. The Colts, why would he torture himself there? I understand the Indianapolis Colts want to bring in competition for Anthony Richardson. Is that the type of situation that you could see Aaron Rodgers in? No. Minnesota Vikings? Yeah, maybe. Just slightly. Maybe he wants to stick it to the Green Bay Packers like another former Green Bay quarterback. But I don't see that. Kevin O'Connell, is not trying to turn his organization into a bleep show, okay? Tennessee Titans, they select number one in the draft. Why Aaron Rodgers would want to go there, I have no idea. The Raiders, could he potentially maybe play for Tom Brady if Aaron Rodgers could shrink his ego? I don't see that happening. It's really, yes, the Steelers and the Giants. Otherwise, as Hickey said, Aaron Rodgers might just need to retire. Maybe he's going to find the nearest hole up in Portland, Oregon, and just decide to jump into it. Kind of hilarious. Dan Graziano was on Get Up this morning on ESPN, and he pretty much said the New York Giants, both Joe Shane and Daboll, the head coach, these guys would be committing career suicide if they decided to bring on Aaron Rodgers. Listen to this.
He's suggesting that the Giants coach and GM need to hire Aaron Rodgers to save their job.
Right.
I guess we can go to Florham Park and see how Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas are enjoying their contract extensions that they got from the Jets because they brought in Aaron Rodgers. What? How does that make any sense? He's the guy you hire if you want to lose your job. We saw this the last couple of years. The entire Jets building got fired. I don't understand what honor. I mean, Mike McCarthy got fired in Green. I don't understand how that makes any sense. Like, he's the guy. That's a desperation move. But it's not the right one. I don't get it. Okay. If you're on thin ice, that is not the guy I would bring in.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers basically, at this point, at this stage of his career, he might be going from team to team with a blowtorch. You know what? This is actually this is a good visual. Bringing in Aaron Rodgers to your team is like that scene from Batman. I don't remember which one it was. The one with Heath Ledger, where he played the hell out of that Joker role, where he is walking out of the hospital. He has a detonator in his hands, and he's walking around, walking away like a complete nut, and just things are just blowing up behind him. Like, that is Aaron Rodgers walking away from the New York Jets. What the hell would he be doing for the New York Giants? The New York Jets brought on Aaron Rodgers with the sole thought and idea that all we needed is a veteran quarterback to lead the way. The New York Giants have nothing. Nothing. It's like, I don't know, going to somebody's house, opening up the fridge, thinking that you're going to get a snack, thinking you're going to go into the cupboard, you're going to find something, and absolutely is nothing. There's nothing. Nada. Nothing there. The New York Giants have a lot to do. Now, they have some good skill position players, Malik Nabers. Yeah, great, fine. They got to find somebody to throw him the ball. They got to protect the guy. They got work to do. Aaron Rodgers is not fixing things. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, why do you want to stay in New York? I'd be ready to go by now. It's like he went on a little vacation and then tore his Achilles. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Johnny is calling from here in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Johnny, what's up?
What's going on, JR, man? I'm just saying, somebody do not like the GM from the Dallas Mavericks. Because how can things go get even worse for him? First of all, you traded Luka. AD, who went down. And now Kyrie, man, the basketball guys hate him right now. So, only thing that can save him right now is Max Christie become an all-star Hall of Fame player. If it is, he is out.
Yeah, well, I don't even think that would save his ass, Johnny. I think you agree with me on that one. Yeah. Thank you for calling. Well, go ahead. You have more? Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, that's when I saw that, I just laughed. Like, I just had to just split my mind about that, but I just laughed about his situation right now. It's like, he is going to get ran out of Dallas so fast. Well, oh, man.
Well, we certainly had this conversation last hour with Mac Engel, who covers them down in Dallas. And thank you, Johnny, for calling from Atlanta. Mac said the same thing. We said it. I've been saying that for weeks. Like, you think about Nico Harrison. He is not a guy who woke up and said, I need to be a GM. Like, he played basketball, by the way. Nico Harrison did at the college level. He tried to get into the league. And he did not. He became an executive at Nike, a big executive at Nike. Not the worst job in the world. Sounds like a damn good one. But ultimately, if things don't work out here, it's not like he has to go back into the basement of some NBA team. He's going to walk his ass right back over to Nike and make a lot of money. That's it. It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm a basketball lifer and I paid my dues here and I had to crawl from being an intern to being the GM and the president of a team. And it took me, 20 and 30 years. No, like, he was at the top of the totem pole in the basketball world in another space working for Nike. And he got offered an NBA job and he took it. And if this job doesn't work, he can go right back to selling shoes. Not that bad. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we have so much more to get into. Hickey, people are like, what else can happen? What else bad can happen to the Mavs? And how long is it going to take for them to say they're going to shut down Anthony Davis? You give that a week, 2 weeks?
I mean, it should have been already mentioned today. I would probably say about 10 days or so.
Let things die down a little bit, right?
Right, and then I guess would that be that's probably good news, going in the right direction. So,
Anthony Davis is out for the year. Okay.
At this point, I agree with Mac. Like, you're playing for what?
Nothing. Not a damn thing. Nothing.
Make sure to try to get as high of a pick as you can, and maybe draft the next Luka or whatever. Maybe you win the lottery and all of a sudden Cooper Flagg comes to town.
All right.
That could ease a little bit of the hurt feelings.
Okay. I mean, he has to end up on some terrible ass team, right?
That's true. And there's a lot of bad ones out there.
Either that or he ends up on the Spurs.
That's true.
That'll be the most NBA thing. It's like, hey, he needs to be on a terrible team. Where does he go? You can team up with Wembanyama next year and they can terrorize the NBA for the next 10 years. So. We'll see what happens. Look, bad things. Well, let me not say. I was going to say bad things happen to bad people. I'm not going to go that far. Hey, You made your bed, now you got to lie down in it. There you go for the Dallas Mavericks. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have a chat with Tony Pauline. He covers all things NFL draft, all things NFL combine. We'll get his thoughts on some of the highest rated prospects and then some others that you need to pay attention to. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. NFL Combine is done. People are no longer in cold Indianapolis. People are waiting for the NFL Draft, which will also be in another cold place. It'll be Green Bay. Well, it's time to talk to someone who keeps up with the Combine, the Draft, all things NFL. He is an analyst surrounding the draft. He represents Sportskeeda. Joining us right now is Tony Pauline. Tony, thank you for taking the time to join us, man.
Thanks for having me. You know, actually, it was warm the first couple of days in Indianapolis, over 50 degrees. And this is my 25th combine, and this was probably early on anyway. It got cold the last 2 days I was there, but early on, the weather was beautiful.
Well, who was it your fault, Tony? Did you ask for the cold weather? Did you do it?
Listen, I came from New York, and the 3-4 weeks before I traveled to Indianapolis from New York, it never got over 25 degrees. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, you got to enjoy the warm 50-degree weather when you can. But we know things are pretty hot inside Lucas Oil. You were able to share a lot of things that you heard about Shedeur Sanders. We've heard the positive, the negative. We've seen some of the stories about him not competing. What's the real deal when it comes down to him being drafted? Do you expect him to kind of tumble down to the Raiders? Is that even a tumble for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think the earliest he goes is the Raiders with their selection. I mean, it's really turning into a one-quarterback draft, and that one quarterback is Cam Ward. The rest of the guys have really fallen off. No one's really elevated his draft stock. As far as Sanders is concerned, you got to start with the 2024 season because the film was not very good. He did not show much progress in his game. In fact, you can argue he regressed in certain areas. So, you know, he's not coming off. He didn't play as good in 2024 as he did in 2023. That's a strike. And then you had the whole fiasco at the Shrine Bowl where everyone's excited. He's going to go to the Shrine Bowl. People expect him to participate in at least some of the workouts. He shows up one day in sweats. Walks around the field, does a press conference, and then leaves. And then you had the whole where he wouldn't work out at the combine. So a lot of it is unforced errors. A lot of it is poor play from 2024 season. And, you know, there's also the Deion factor, which I wrote about several times at Sportskeeda. You know, Deion is a parent. Like, you know, a lot of people, like I'm a parent. And when you see things that aren't happening very well, or going very good for your kid, you know, you're usually going to complain about it, as I'm sure Deion will, when things don't work out for his son as a rookie in the NFL. But the only thing is, we don't all have the bully pulpit of, you know, weekly press conferences as head coaches of the University of Colorado. And there's concern that from some teams that when things don't go well for Shedeur Sanders, he hits bumps in the road as a rookie, you know, Deion's going to be out there, in Colorado voicing his complaints, which could be a distraction.
Yeah, Tony Pauline joining us, NFL draft analyst. You talk about it being a one-quarterback draft. There are a lot of big names that we know from the college scene and college side that might have some potential. Jalen Milroe. It's been said that Jackson Dart, who did throw, had a positive showing. As Kyle McCord and Dylan Gabriel is defending his height and his size. Are these guys just... Are we looking at backup quarterbacks in the league here? Does anybody have a chance to really grow?
I was a big fan of Jalen Milroe coming into the season. I think Jalen Milroe physically stands up with any quarterback in this draft. When you look at arm strength, when you look at athleticism, when you look at foot speed, he's a high character guy. He's a great leader on and off the field. The problem is really since the middle of the season, since that Georgia game, his game has gone downhill. He was not good the second half of the season at Alabama. He was beating teams more with his feet than with his arms. He was not good at the Senior Bowl. He was not good at the combine. So I think with Jalen Milroe, it's a situation where he's got tremendous upside, but you're going to need a great quarterback coach really to work with him from the ground up, and you're going to have to be very patient. If you do, you could hit a home run. Jackson Dart, solid, very good quarterback, very good between the ears, But again, I think he's more of a system type quarterback. You've got to put him in a timing offense, West Coast offense. You can't ask him to throw the ball downfield too much. And I think Quinn Ewers is being forgotten about, which he shouldn't, because he's a terrific vertical passer who, you know, did a great job at Texas 2 years in a row.
Now, Tony, we heard earlier today, moving on to the running backs, we heard about the deal and contract extension that Saquon Barkley got. We got a lot of teams, likely competitive teams, somewhere later. And somebody's going to add Ashton Jeanty. And when you think about a running back status in the league, are teams still looking to get them at a bargain? Are we looking at another year where Jeanty goes in the first round and everybody else has to wait a while?
Well, this is a great running back draft. Unlike last year where your first running back went late second round and then started to come off the board in the third round, there is a lot of quality starting with Jeanty. And I think Jeanty's going to come off the board midway through the first round. He's a three-down back. He's a versatile back. Very good. It runs hard on the inside. Will pick and choose his spots. Has the speed and agility to turn the corner. Good pass catcher out of the backfield. The other guy who could squeak into the back end of round one is Omarion Hampton of North Carolina, who comes off a real good season, actually real good two seasons at North Carolina, and had a terrific combine workout. Hampton's a guy. There are some teams, that, and I reported this from Indianapolis, that like Hampton better than Jeanty. I don't agree with that, but that's out there. But I do think Omarion Hampton has the potential to kind of slide into the back end of round one. But there's a lot of other good backs. I mean, Caleb Johnson of Iowa, who did not have a good combine. The two kids from Ohio State, Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. Dylan Sampson of Tennessee. Trevor Etienne of Georgia. And they're all different. You know, some of them are bigger inside grinders and pounders. Some of them are creative perimeter runners. And most of these guys are terrific pass catchers out of the backfield.
Well, Tony, we heard a lot heading into the playoff from Arizona State from Cam Scatterboo. He got a lot of attention late in the college football season. What's the deal and what's the latest with him? He at one point said he was better than Jeanty.
Which he's not. I mean, he's very good at what he does, and he's a lot of fun to watch. But he's primarily a downhill ball carrier. You know, a bigger – I mean, if it was 30 years ago, Scatterboat's probably a top 15 pick, but the game has changed. He's not really fast. He's not super creative. He's a lot of fun to run, but to watch. I mean, he craves physical contact. He's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. But, you know, sometimes some of the things that you do on Saturday, which are come easily, you can't duplicate or replicate on Sunday. And I think that's the situation with Scatterboat. I'd like him. I think he can be a good back. But I just don't think he has the same rounded game as the Jeanty's or the Hamptons or the Judkins or the ATNs.
NFL draft analyst Tony Pauline is joining us here, the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We saw what someone like Shamar Stewart did during the combine. Looking at a guy that big move like that, who are some other players who raised eyebrows in a positive way?
I think Dante, when you go back, receiver Dante Thornton was outstanding. 6'5", ran in the 4.3s. Landon Jackson of Arkansas had a tremendous workout the way he ran. Ashton Gillott of Louisville, I think, ran much faster, performed much better than people expected. I think the Alabama kids, Tyler Booker didn't have great testing numbers, the offensive lineman, but he was phenomenal during position drills. Jahad Campbell showed really just a complete workout as far as his testing and position drills as well.
Well, Isaiah Bond was doing all that chatting about how he was going to be faster than Xavier Worthy. Did he kind of shoot himself in the foot by opening up his mouth?
Yeah, well, I guess he was practicing at 30 yards, not 40 yards. I mean, you've got to go back to the film. And when you watch the film, Isaiah Bond is not a super great receiver. He's small. He needs space to work. He drops a lot of catches. And as we found out at the combine, he probably should keep his mouth shut. So, I mean, there's always the need for guys who are fast guys. And even though we ran a 4.4, he's still football fast. But he needs to round out and complete his game. And shooting his mouth off the way he did before the combine, and then not living up to, you know, what he was telling everybody, that's not going to help him.
Yeah, Tony Pauline joining us here, NFL draft analyst from SportsKita. What do you foresee happening at the top of the draft board? Is there a possibility that we see some teams that are going to move up? I don't want to say that to grab a QB, given kind of what you just said. But what can we expect, knowing that the Tennessee Titans need just about everything? The Browns need a QB. What do you think that the top is going to shake out to be?
I think that the Titans are going to do all they can to trade the pick. And if they get a package that they like from a team like maybe the New York Giants, who want to trade up and get a quarterback, maybe the Las Vegas Raiders, if they don't come away with Sam Darnold, I think, if they get the package that is attracted to them, they will trade out of that spot. I do think there's a very good chance that they could sit there and take Cam Ward if they don't find any of the offers made to them attractive enough. They do like Cam Ward. I reported that at SportsKita. I mean, when you have the opportunity to get a top-rated quarterback, and Cam Ward is a top-rated quarterback, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he fits the profile of the quarterbacks that I like, in the sense that he's coming off a terrific year. Unlike Shedeur Sanders, you know, he played his best football, the season before he entered the draft. Think of Jaden Daniels a year ago. Think of Bo Nix and Michael Penix a year ago. And those guys had success as rookies. The Titans need a lot. But I've always been a best player available type of guy. Mm-hmm. But still, when you get the chance to grab a quarterback, you better take it, or you could look back and rue the day that you passed up on him.
Yeah. Well, in regards to Travis Hunter, what do you think his best situation is? Where would be best for him?
Well, probably isn't playing well for Cleveland. That's just about any given player. I think Travis Hunter will go with the second or third pick, depending on what happens with number one. I think the Giants would be a good spot for him. The Giants are looking for a number two receiver. The Giants are looking for a bigger cornerback. Obviously, Hunter's going to have to focus on one position and then maybe play the other position sparingly. He's not going to be able to play as many downs on Sunday as he did on Saturday. But I think a situation like the New York Giants, who need help at both positions where Travis Hunter excels, could be a good spot for him. As well as the fact that, you know, it is New York. And, you know, if he plays well in the bright lights, the sky's the limit.
The sky is absolutely the limit. Hey, this is why these teams are selecting here at the top of the draft. They need a whole hell of a lot.
Yep.
If they swing and miss, they're going to be bad for a little bit longer.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you got it. The draft is just selecting players in the draft is just one piece of the puzzle. You know, you've got to have the right coaching staff in place. You got to have the ability to develop these players. And there's a reason why the Philadelphia Eagles and Andy Reid, you know, have good quarterbacks, you know, time after time after time. And teams like the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets just can't get the position right.
Now, you talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. We saw what they did with Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, and they just hit the jackpot with those two. Is there a similar player that you see that might get selected later on in the draft that could have a major impact right away on a winning organization?
Well, I mentioned Dante Thornton before. He's a receiver that's probably going to go somewhere in the late third round. I mean, a guy like Dorian Strong, another cornerback, I think he could help early on. If you're looking for an offensive lineman, somebody like Tate Ratledge, these are all guys who are going to go in the third round area. Cody Simon, the linebacker from Ohio State, again, a third rounder, a guy who really didn't get the pub that he deserved in that Ohio State defense that had so many stars, JT Tuimoloa and Jack Sawyer. But week in and week out, I mean, Simon was consistently making plays against the run, against the pass. He's a versatile linebacker who I think will really help out as a rookie.
Yeah, well, we'll see. That's what I'm looking forward to. I want to watch the good teams with a rookie, and then I'll watch the bad ones later, Tony. So all about balance. Appreciate the insight and the analyst. Where can people follow you and all of your work with SportsKita?
Well, at SportsKita, or just follow me on Twitter. I know we're going to have a post-combine mock draft. A lot of people love those mock drafts. We'll have that up by the end of the week. Follow me on Twitter at Tony Pauline. is I always link to the articles or whatever I'm doing.
Amazing, Tony. Well, thank you so much. I know the cold weather's been following you around just a little bit. Hey, it's going to get warm soon, okay, Tony? Going to get warm soon.
Listen, I live in New York. That's why I love it. It's cold in the winter. It's crazy hot in the summer, and it's nice in the spring. So I'm cool. I'm good with it all.
Good on balance. Well, Tony, we'll catch you on down the line, okay?
Thank you for having me.
No doubt about it. That Tony Pauline, NFL draft analyst for Sports Kita. He's been doing this for a very long time. Let's see how the NFL draft kind of bears out. We got to wait for a little bit more than a month. But before that, man, we're going to blink and next week is going to be the start of free agency. Tom just flies in the NFL. It's taking all the attention from everybody. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We come back in a few hours. We might see even more history made in the NBA. Yeah, some 40-year-old guy is going to do something that has never been done before. I'll tell you who it is. You probably know that, but I'll tell you what it is as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Tony Pauline from Sports Kita for joining us in the last break to talk about all things NFL draft, NFL combine. This is just an interesting one. I appreciate the NFL draft this year because there's no clear cut as to what's going to take place. Like, we have no idea what the Tennessee Titans are going to do. Are they going to trade? Are they going to take a QB? Are they going to suffer another year with Will Levis? We know the Browns are going to take a quarterback, right? They have to. Hickey, they're going to take, they have to, right? They have to.
I think it depends what the Titans do.
Yeah. So they would take Cam Ward, but they wouldn't take Shador.
I don't know. I mean, that's what the feeling I get. Maybe they're desperate enough to take either one at number two. But it does feel like, especially if they want to play Travis Hunter at receiver, does feel like if that's going to be the case, take a quarterback.
The Browns?
Yes.
Oh, who the hell going to throw him the ball?
That's the problem. You know, if Andrew Berry says, hey, we view him as a receiver on our board, and draft him to catch balls from...
me? You? I don't know.
Maybe Jacoby Brissett?
Oh, my God. Ugh.
I don't. I'm with you. I think it has to be quarterback, you would think, right?
Okay. All right. The Browns are going to Brown, so... we'll see. These are bad teams that have just been bad for the past several years that if they could make one wrong decision and the team can go into the toilet for another 2 or 3 years. That includes the Titans, the Browns, and the New York Giants, who have just been historically bad. And we've talked about how their general manager, Joe Shane, is on the hot seat. Brian Daboll is on the hot seat. I mean, is it realistic that if they don't get a quarterback, like, what is the mandate that you absolutely have to take a quarterback, even if you don't believe in him? And if you don't take one, if it doesn't work, you get fired. Like, there's so many possibilities there. But when it comes to any of these QBs and then the teams at the top of the draft, you know, what their futures look like. So thank you so much to Tony Pauline for joining us in the last break. I do want to tell you about something that is highly likely to happen. Almost in exactly 2 hours, LeBron James is going to add, well, another point. He's going to add something else to his resume that's never been done before. LeBron James is 1 point away from a combined 50,000 points in his career. There is not, well, I mean, damn it, let's be real. Since he passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a couple of years ago, he's just been blowing through the entire record books. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar finished his career with a combined 44,149 combined points. That's the regular season and the postseason. LeBron is at 50,000 and counting. LeBron James has already played in the most playoff games ever, 287. Let me say that again. LeBron James has played in 287 playoff games. This is his 22nd season. Just on playoff games. He's played an additional 3.5 seasons. LeBron James is 40 years old, and he's played the equivalent of 25 and a half seasons. What the hell is this? Like, his numbers are ridiculous, and we know he's just... And by the way, this past month for February, LeBron James was the player of the month. He averaged in the West 29 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and a steal. The Lakers went 9-2. He's 40 years old. And yeah, running up and down a basketball court catches up to everybody. Maybe it's the physicality, the strength of his game, his brain. He's certainly one of the smartest basketball players ever. He's always taking care of his body. It's amazing watching him do what he does. It was just a couple of months ago, he went through a shooting slump at three, from three, and people are looking at LeBron going, oh man, this guy's cooked. No, he's not. I don't know what a downswing will look like for LeBron. Man, what, in another 5 years? What, a bad year is 20 points a game? 15, 8, and 8? I don't know. This is just ridiculous watching him do what he does on a night-to-night basis. LeBron James against the Pelicans at home will only need one point, to be the only man to score 50,000 combined points in the NBA, and he's already about 6,000 points ahead of Kareem. This is crazy what LeBron James is doing. Somebody who played in the NBA is Avery Johnson, and he was on CBS Sports HQ, and he talked about what LeBron James is doing.
What this means is LeBron King James, independent of any sport, he's probably the most well-conditioned athlete that we've ever seen in our lifetime. I mean, he's an Iron Man. You know, he's a guy 40 years old playing at a high level. What 40-year-old that you know in the history of the NBA that can play at this level? Still play above the rim?
None. 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 Vince Carter was sitting on the bench and, you know, popping on being a vet when he was going. Michael Jordan, yeah, he was getting his knee drained. Michael Jordan was going out there dropping 20, but he was no longer Air Jordan. He had a little one-handed dunk every now and then, but he wasn't flying around like LeBron James is right now, catching half-court alley-oops from Luka Doncic. Like, he's a freak. And I know, given the new CBA, LeBron James can't just go out here and sign, you know, a 3-year, 4-year contract, not at his age. But we talk about year to year. LeBron James might quit with something left in the tank. Like a lot left in the tank. He might be mentally fatigued. And now he got Luka Doncic. You don't want to tell me that that's not a battery in this guy's back to keep on going? He started playing at a high level, 25-5, when he was 18 years old. He is 40 years old, has played the equivalent of going on 26 seasons. Think about that. Hickey, who the hell plays basketball? Hickey, 26 seasons? What the hell is that?
Insane. Like, that's mind-blowing.
At a high level. And by the way, the playoff games are not the cheap ones either. He actually has to bust his ass. It's not a walk in a park tonight like the Pelicans. 26 seasons of basketball? This is crazy. He's nuts.
Is that like, there are a lot of, I think, records out there, and this could be one of them, the 50,000 point mark that maybe no one else reaches, but that also feels like 26 combined seasons feels like another one where it's like we're never going to see this longevity from anyone else.
I would agree with that one. The way LeBron James is playing and the way he's going right now, I don't want to put it, you know, as Cal Ripken-esque, but it might be. Like, Hickey, what is he going to do? He's going to play. Hickey, think about this. At minimum, he's going to play next season as well. And are we expecting a massive drop-off? And of course, everybody can wake up one day and he can step out onto the basketball court. It could all be over in just a blink of an eye. It can. And nobody wants that for anybody, but it's a possibility. But the way he's going, he looks like he can play at a high level for another 2 years. It's like he keeps moving the goalpost as to when is LeBron done? Well, He was like 35, and it was like, oh, LeBron is old. You seen that meme or the tweet where the guy said, like, 10, 15 years ago, I think LeBron turned 30. He's like, thank God LeBron is 30. We don't have to watch this for too much longer. And the guy just won Conference Player of the Month, and he's one of the best guys in the NBA at 40. It's pretty hilarious at this point, man.
It's incredible. It is. That's, it's like incredible, remarkable. There's not enough adjectives to use to describe what we're watching.
Yeah, not at all. That tweet is going to go viral again tonight, by the way. Hey, LeBron is 30. We don't got too many more years of this. And he just has 1 point to pass, you know, 50,000, get to the 50,000. Just absolutely amazing. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I'll get to your calls. We'll take a look at a lot of the things that we talked about, everything from Saquon Barkley to the Cowboys. And even Bill Belichick was in the news today. And no, he's not leaving North Carolina. Don't worry about that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.